Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast. This is your boy, Greg the Mark, coming to you live. And as you may notice with the, you know, presence of the theme song, we got the greatest producer on earth, my brother, Martez Ale, with us. Day-Day is going to be along very shortly.
Very shortly it is. Welcome to the Radar Wrestling Podcast, everybody. Your guy, the Southwest Texan Daddy Cruz, is in the house. What's going on, everybody?
What's going on? Man, it's going to be an exciting night. We got an exciting weekend coming up, man, and we got a huge announcement coming. The Detroit Wrestling Connection is going to announce a live event that I'm so excited for. It's been so hard to keep my mouth shut about it, but I have, and I don't have to keep my mouth shut about it much longer.
I was going to say, that's kind of hard.
Once it's announced, you ain't going to be able to shut me up about it.
Man. Brother Taz, what's the announcement, brother?
All right. It took me a long time I've been going back and forth on doing this particular show, but I'm happy to announce that November the 6th, Detroit Wrestling Connection, we will be having a AEW Full Gear Watch Party November the 6th at Imagine Theater.
Ooh.
So that's the big announcement. Detroit Wrestling Connection, we bleed WWE, and I'm just going to be honest, we do, but we're trying to switch things up.
I was just going to say that's part of the big deal because this is the first ever AEW watch party that the Detroit Wrestling Connection is putting on. It's going to be fire.
Yep.
It's going to be fire.
You know what's funny? I almost feel like I'm cheating on WWE by doing this. It's weird.
You can't be cheating if the other
it's an open relationship,
not a better product. Right. It's not like you're not married to the game, man. You're not married to the wrestling business, man. We are wrestling fans at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And whoever's putting on the better product, whatever promotion's putting out the better product, why not watch it?
And that's I am married to wrestling, but like I said, it's an open relationship here. You know what I mean? Sometimes I spend weekends with independent wrestling. Sometimes I spend Saturday nights with AEW. Sometimes I spend Monday nights with WWE. But we're out here living our best.
I do the same thing. And I'm going to tell you guys something. Josiah, listen to this. Josiah, I sent you guys videos already. Josiah loves his wrestling. He loves it. He's watched WrestleMania 23. He's watched Monday Night Raw. He's watched Kenny Omega's. He watched Adam Cole's. But I'm going to tell you one thing. My son has his eye on AEW. It's more appealing to him. I don't know. And he's only going on 4 months, so that's got to say something.
Indeed. And actually, me and Marquez, because we weren't expecting you till late, which we're glad you were able to break the ball and chain and get with us earlier. But, you know, we were actually starting to have a conversation. We decided we would stay for the air. And as what the conversation was is AEW's pay-per-views. That's why I'm so excited for the Full Gear Watch Party at the Royal Oak Imagine Theater on November 6th. Because, man, it's every match. They're just, their pay-per-views are fire. And
yeah,
Martez
yeah.
said, I don't know why that is. And I said, well, I kind of have an idea. And I think it's more the saturation, the oversaturation. I mean,
yeah.
back when it was Royal Rumble, WrestleMania,
Survivor
King
Series.
Of the Ring, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, that's five.
Yeah.
You had at least a two-month build to every big card. And AEW,
mm-hmm.
they haven't really been running every month like that on pay-per-view.
Right.
And all their pay-per-views have become must-see because they're bringing it on pay-per-view. They're
yeah.
bringing it on cable,
and
but they're really bringing it on pay-per-view.
I was about to say that. They brought
and they're
it on
letting
cable.
Their stories
they
play
two.
Out.
Yes, that's what I, you know what, that's a, you took the words right out of my mouth, dude, because like the storytelling, exactly what they did last night with Miro and the TNT Championship and Sammy Guevara, they were building Miro up like if he was back in the WWE, undefeated, you know, just a brute. And you know what I'm saying? He ran over and bulldozed over everybody since he's been TNT Champion, well, former now. But Sammy Guevara did what nobody could do in months when it came to Miro, and that's beat him for that TNT championship. And
so how was the match?
Like,
I had to ask Martez what the – I hadn't even caught any of the results.
Man, dude, I can't even tell you, dude. It's just like I'm watching so much of it, dude. It's just like I can't tell you what matches. Like last night, I –
No,
I
said how was the match between Guevara and Miro?
Oh. Dude, that match, you know what? For a man Miro's size versus what a man of Sammy Guevara's size and stature is, it was a hell of a match, bro. It was hard hitting. You had Sammy Guevara, you know, he was flying. And then at the end of the night, man, you know, Sammy Guevara was a better man, won the TNT Championship. I give it out of my. I don't know about Dave Meltzer now. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't no Dave Meltzer. You know, I give it a. Four star match, dude. Three and a half, four
Day
stars.
Day Meltzer gives it four stars.
Day Meltzer, yeah, that's right. Day Meltzer gives it a four stars. I like I said, I'm no Dave Meltzer, but you know, I'm pretty damn close to it, hopefully. But yeah, dude. I'm gonna announce a few things real quick, you know, since we're announcing things. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. Are in talks on having them on their on our show, Buff Bagwell, former WCW wrestler, former WWF wrestler, and also, what's her name? Her name is Leah Green or something like that. She's on AEW right now.
Ooh.
Being rude, I'm going to find her on Facebook real quick.
Ooh.
Leah Gray. She's in AEW right now, dude. She's turning up the heat over there where she's at in the women's division. And, dude, it's just a matter of time until she gets the AEW Women's Championship match, dude. But they will be on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. I can guarantee you Buff, and I'm guaranteeing you Leah Gray. So those
wow.
are two guests that will be on the show soon.
Stay tuned for those episodes, man.
That's hot right there,
stay
man.
Tuned.
Be a lot
oh,
of
yeah,
fun,
yeah.
man.
We do not
coming
sleep
into
over
fall,
here, bud.
Coming
we,
into indoor season. And this weekend,
mm-hmm.
we'll talk a little here in a little bit about the big deathmatch circus. We got ICW New York coming
oh,
to
yeah.
town.
ICW,
they're
yep.
teaming up with RPW Toledo in Fenton, Michigan at the F5 compound. So we kind of got a, you know, three-company cooperative going on here
mm-hmm.
with RPW, F5, and, you know, ICW New York.
This is
like, man, have you
this
seen
is a
this
mega,
card?
A mega deathmatch circus, dude. This is a big show, like the GCW versus Horseman. Dude, did you see who they are bringing for the GCW versus Horseman 2?
Mm-hmm.
They are bringing few of them. They are bringing former, yes, they are bringing our former guest, which he will be back on the show in the future to promote his match in both, well, I'm pretty sure both matches in November. Mr. Alex Zane will be returning to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast also, but he will be making his Horror Slam debut on November 11th, the day before the regular GCW show on November 12th.
Who is this? Alex Zane?
Alex Zane. Yeah.
Alex Zane was on the GCW versus Horror Slam last time.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yep. Yeah, that was right after we had had him on the show. Wait,
on the
no,
GCW
no,
Horror
no,
Slam
I'm
show?
Being Ace Austin. It was Ace Austin.
No. Wait, versus Ace Austin. Wasn't that where Trish Tab Jesus won the title?
At that event. He may have been. I might be thinking Alex Zane, though.
You're thinking about Ace Austin. Yeah, it was Ace Austin. No, two different people, but Alex Zane will be making his debut in Detroit.
I did see the Alex Zane poster, though.
Yeah, dude, yeah. And we're gonna get the chance and the opportunity to hang with that man when he comes to Detroit. So we gotta clear our schedules, and we will be hanging out with Alex Zane that night and that day, whatever we choose, whatever we please, whatever we want to do.
Yeah, it's
all he wants is some Taco Bell, some Baja Blast, and some Big Red Soda, and I got that all already on tap for him.
There you go.
That's what we're going to do.
So, yeah, have you seen this card for the Deathmatch Circus? It's unbelievable, man.
I was going to start looking at it right now.
It's unbelievable, man. I can't believe the both nights. Honestly, I'm a little more excited for the RPW aspect of it, but dude, Sadiqa and Mickey Knuckles, Jeff King and Dale Patrick, Atticus
yes.
Kogar and Jimmy Jacobs, 440 versus
yeah,
the Reject,
dude, I'm ready
Justin
for this.
Kyle
That's
and Tank, Hondo and Neil Diamond Cutter, and Orin Vite versus Akira. And that's
yeah.
just night one.
Night two of that show is going to be even crazier. And this is no holds barred, dude. This is going to be night two. It's going to have the Deathmatch Championship. American Deathmatch Champion John Wayne Murdoch will be defending his championship against Dale Patricks.
No,
then you
that's
got Orin Vite. You said what?
That's still night one.
Oh shit. Oh, it is. I'm looking at another one. Oh
yeah.
No, I see where it's night
Dale
two.
Dale Patrick is actually at the RPW the next night. He's actually fighting Mickey Knuckles.
Now
we got a good taste of Mickey Knuckles and Dale Patrick's. They had an impromptu title match for the Rust Match champion, Rust Belt Championship, but you know, it was stopped. The match was stopped. It's gonna finally have a conclusion to this match, a full match. I mean, let's face it, dude. Dale Patrick had just come out of a war.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I mean,
crazy.
Even to. I mean, Mickey Knuckles says he scoffed at her as a challenger, said she didn't deserve it. The promoter says that's not true. Dale Patrick says it's not true, but Mickey Knuckles believes it, and she has a vendetta. And, man, her and Dale Patrick are going to go to war, dude. It's going to be wild.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. For sure, and I can't wait to either see it live, or I'm going to actually order, if anything, on Fight TV.
It will absolutely be on Fight Two. It's just going to be crazy, man. They
and we know what Mickey.
So
we actually know what Mickey
Knuckles
is about.
Night one is at 8 o'clock, and then at 11:30 the Pit Four, and then the post show Deathmatch Stories by the Campfire. Afterwards, Saturday at noon, it says the Carney shit starts. Ruthless Pro Wrestling at 3, and NHB 19 Night 2 at 8 o'clock. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Dude, tell me about it. That is, like, fucking sick, dude. These people are going to throw on a fucking hell of a show. They're going to spend their bodies till they can't spend no more, and they're going to overspend them. Dude, these, man, these shows, they're just, they get crazier. And then the Pit Four, you got fucking Red Wing Hall of Famer Darren McCartney, dude, facing Brandon Kirk. That's a match I really want to see.
Dude, that's
I mean,
wild.
You got a yeah. Red
My
Wing
boy
legend, Darren
McCartney.
Yeah, fuck, dude. I can't wait to see that one. That's the match I really want to see. I know we got Tommy Vendetta versus John Wayne Murdoch also, but this is the match I want
to
see.
We got Danny DeManto versus John Wayne Murdoch.
Yeah, that
on
too.
Night 2.
Night 2, yeah.
And also, the reason we had Dale Patrick twice, I just seen it a minute ago, apparently Jeff King isn't going to make it, so he won't be fighting Dale Patrick. Looks like that's why Dale Patrick advertised in that second match. Because the Jeff King match will unfortunately be happening.
That's unfortunate, dude. Because Jeff King, dude, whatever match he's in, dude, it basically steals the night, to be honest, in my opinion. Because Jeff King,
man,
dude, is just... I love Jeff King, dude.
Steals
the
show for the
Jeff
night
King.
For me. Logan James, MM3, Zach Thomas, Jake Crist, and J.J. Garrix in a five-way scramble match.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. Down for that.
Not
definitely
to mention Tank,
that.
Neil Diamond Cutter, Matthias Thrasher, and Chuck Stein in everything, including the kitchen sink match.
Dude, yes. Like I said, a night full of blood, a night full of guts, and a night full of fucking just fucking wrestling, dude. The game we love.
And fuckery. Hondo and Ben Sullivan in the Dog Collar Four Corners of Fuckery Deathmatch. And it's a deathmatch circus is definitely full of fuckery.
All the way, brother. All the way. All the fucking way. Then we got Randy West versus Eddie Only, dude. Randy West, dude.
In a way too much wire deathmatch.
Yeah, there you go. Now that match is going to be good too, dude. Because Eddie Only this year, dude, has been on a fucking roll.
Dude, I love Randy West, has become one of my favorite deathmatch wrestlers. Her and Mickey Knuckles, to me, are on, maybe they are more kind of amazing to me because they are women doing what they do. But women or not, all genders aside, holy fucking shit. And the way they beat the fuck out of each other, which I have that whole match from RPW, Mickey Knuckles versus Randy West, perhaps the best death match I've ever seen. But, man, Randy West, man, can bang with anybody on the death match tip. Anybody.
Oh,
you
yeah,
can bang with
sure,
Chuck Stein.
Yep. Yeah, and dude, she brought it to Chuck Stein, dude. Put fucking gusset plates all in his head. Made him fucking bleed like a scalded pig. Dude, just, man, refusably bleeding. Dude, Mickey Knuckles, we've known her. We've seen her hands on. We've seen her. I recorded her match. You recorded some of her match.
Yeah, I recorded her match with Randy West a couple months ago, for sure.
No, that's what I'm saying, and I did the one with her and Chuck Stein. I did the one with her and Chuck Stein, and like I said, dude, to record these matches up front is fucking crazy, to be honest. I've never, when I started recording those matches back in 2018 when it came to Horror Slam, dude, man, it was like, I didn't know what I was doing in the whole time when I started to, you know what I'm saying, whatever. But, man, it's not scary, but, dude, remember when that lady was at the Horror Slam show? This was funny. It wasn't funny, but it was funny. When she got smashed in her face with the thumbtacks, with a bat full of thumbtacks.
Oh, my God, yeah. Dude, that was like
that?
The second Horror Slam show I ever went to. It was at Rocky's, and I think it was Breyer. Swung the bat at someone.
It was Breyer.
Dude, Bradley ran over there. Oh, my God, the sight of the thumbtack bat hit this bitch right in the face.
Yes, dude, that shit gave her, oh, my God, like, I was,
it was a lady sitting over at the bar. She didn't even see it coming,
yeah,
dude, it just slapped her right in the nugget piece.
It just smacked it right in the nugget piece, yes, dude. Listen, me and Colette, when we had remember our merch that we had? Anyway, we gave that lady, we felt so bad for her, dude, we gave her a shirt and a mug. And we was like, man, we're so sorry. And you know, I'm like, damn, it was crazy. And then I don't know what Brian did for her, but that shit was fucking so crazy, dude. That shit was crazy.
Dude, Bradley went running over there. I was like, dude, I was like, dude, sneak over there and take a picture. I want to see. I mean, I couldn't run over there. I was like, wow, that was fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah. That
bitch,
dude,
just hit her in the face.
That just brings me to my point, dude. It's kind of scary to record the matches. And when I used to do it, dude, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, and then I got used to it. And this shit, it's fun to record a death match. You just got to watch your surroundings.
You certainly do. I tell you, here's one. You're going to have to watch your surroundings. Satu Jin and Josh Crane in a pain in the glass death match.
Ooh, nice.
Glass.
I got it. Listen, that match is going to be bloody. But I want to ask you one thing. And it's off of the death match stuff. It's off of the indie stuff. And Martez, I want your opinion on this. I want your guys' full opinion because you've been watching wrestling forever. I've been watching wrestling forever. Mm-hmm. Martez, Big E becoming the WWE champion finally. Finally, it's a new day. Two-thirds of the new day, brand new WWE champion, Kofi, former WWE champion. What is your opinion on this? I'm going to ask you first, Martez, since you're WWE full and true.
So, are you asking me what's my opinion on Big E? Because
I know you're proud.
Are you asking what is my opinion on Big E being champion, or were you setting up another question?
What's your opinion like on his winning? Well, go ahead.
Honestly, in my opinion, I would have hoped that it would have happened after the Royal Rumble. Okay, I felt like. I don't know if I said this last week on Wrestle Talking to D. I'm happy for him. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy for him. I'm elated, excited for him. But I think it was the wrong time. I think Bobby Lashley was still a strong champion, and I wanted to see that Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. That's what I was hoping for. That's what I think the whole WWE universe, so to speak, was hoping for, a Reigns versus Lashley. So I was kind of hoping that Big E would cash in the Money in the Bank sometime after the Royal Rumble. In fact, I was hoping Big E would have been the guy that finally dethrones Roman Reigns. And like I said, I was hoping that he would win after Royal Rumble. So I'm okay with him being champion. I just wish it wasn't right now.
Okay.
Even
I get that.
Your point, it would have been a nice cash in after Survivor Series, even after Lashley Roman. Because I think Lashley Roman is a better match than Big E and Roman.
I agree, but how do we know going into Survivor Series if Roman Reigns is going to be champion? Now that Brock Lesnar is challenging Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship, it could turn out to be Paul Heyman turning on Brock Lesnar as he did turn on Brock Lesnar for the Big Show back in Survivor Series 2002. This is 20 years later. Are we going to see the same outcome where Paul Heyman turns his back on another client to go to another? And is Roman Reigns going to step into Survivor Series champion? Will we get that? And will we get Brock Lesnar win the WWE Championship? And then maybe Big E losing the championship back to Bobby Lashley, then getting a rematch after Survivor Series, and then we get Big E's big moment maybe at the Rumble and move on forward from there. Who knows? Because we also had Drew McIntyre pointing to Big E to challenge for the WWE Championship on Monday Night Raw after Big E beat Bobby Lashley.
You know, you have a point. We got Crown Jewel coming up. And depending on how that plays out, we could get the Brock Lesnar-Bobby Lashley match that everybody really wants.
That's what I was getting to. That's exactly what I was getting to. And will we get, or could we get, maybe at Survivor Series, a six-man tag match where now the newly reformed Hurt Business tag team champions and Raw heavyweight champion versus SmackDown's Universal Champion Roman Reigns and his cousin, the Bloodline, the tag team champions over there on SmackDown. Will we get that outcome? We don't know. Now, WWE, now that they got a fire under that, look, guys, I know I've been away and kind of, you know what I'm saying, out and in on this podcast for this since I became a father, but listen, WWE has a fire under their ass right now with AEW. Listen, Martez, I'm telling you this because I know this. They have a fire under their ass where now they're just going to try to become unpredictable but still have the same formula in becoming a public company. You know what I'm saying? And maybe because look, they've been dropping the shit bombs a lot lately. Bobby Lashley dropped one at the pay-per-view after he lost to Big E on Sunday. Rick Steiner's son, the shit bomb on NXT this last Thursday or last Tuesday. So maybe Vince is starting to get a little edgier, but going to try to keep it enough for the kids where he doesn't have to lose the product or the kids and keep the demo at the 18 to 49 demographics. And maybe
There are three shows. They could easily target another demographic with one of them.
They can. I feel like that's what they're fishing for. I agree with you 100. I agree with you because last night, Cody Rhodes' new show came on, and it's somewhat like a Total Divas kind of thing, but with him and Brandi Rhodes showing their behind the scenes of everything they do on top of the wrestling, this and that, their real life with their kid, and I can see where that come from with what you're saying, Greg, which maybe they can target another demographic. But you got to think about it. WWE's already touching that demographic. All they have to do is better their product. That's it. That's all they have to do is better the product. And you know what I'm saying? And WWE can be on the road that they were in, stepping with another demographic. So they're going to be walking with 2 feet instead of one for years after they bought out WCW, didn't have no competition, didn't know how to walk, didn't know what to do because they bought the competition, which they didn't have to. Now they didn't have to work as hard. They don't have to work as hard because they're the number one company. But now that they, you know what I'm saying, that they're doing this, they got a fire under their ass. Now they have to come back out and walk with 2 feet instead of walking with 1 foot or walking not straight and being able to not touch with the demographic that they've been wanting to touch for years. And they're going to make it happen, but they need to make it happen now because AEW has they have homegrown talent. They have WWE talent. They got, you know what I'm saying, CM Punk talent that say they will never return to the ring, but found out that AEW has the wrestlers, pro wrestlers that have the passion where he was before he left the WWE when he was in Ring of Honor, when he had that passion. CM Punk had the passion, and, dude, he's got the passion again. He has the passion again, and it's not in WWE.
Yep. I think the best thing WWE can do is a few things. They can get a little bit more edgier as we see them doing that with NXT now. But I think they need to get a little bit more edgier. They need to provide more shock value, okay? We need more shock value. Yeah. And lastly, they need to – because they can't go out and get a top free agent. There's nobody really out there that they can get that can be a huge splash. Maybe Conor McGregor, but not so much. But
no,
they need to just – They need to just create fresh new characters. I think that's the best thing they can do is create fresh new characters that people can cling to. Okay, like I said, they can't go out and get nobody that's a hot free agent. Man.
No, not right now. And that's another thing. Like I was saying, that AEW has the whole recipe for success in pro wrestling, not entertainment. It's not entertainment in AEW. They got storylines and they got pro wrestling. Them are two of the best things that you can have to grab your fans' attention. If they're pro wrestling fans, if they're wrestling fans, and if you're an entertainment fan, there's nothing wrong with it. There's WWE. Why can't everybody have a clear mind and watch everything? Because you got stuff in AEW that WWE don't have. You got stuff in the indies that both of these guys don't have, which WWE is messing up also with saying that they won't pick up anybody from the indies because, you know what I'm saying, and AEW is actually picking these people up, and then they're having homegrown talent from AEW and the indies, and you know what I'm saying? They brought in Nick fucking Gage. God damn it, they brought in fucking Nick Gage. You know what I mean? Dude is over everywhere in this fucking world. Nick fucking Gage is over. I'm sorry, Greg. You know what I'm saying? With what he did to MM3. MM3, you know you're my boy. We're carnales for life. But he brought in Nick fucking Gage, and Nick fucking Gage went against the fucking bar and fucking did the pizza cutter thing to fucking Chris Jericho. He fucking made Domino stop their fucking sponsorship with AEW. You know what I mean? Nick Gage and Chris Jericho, that was a good match. I just didn't like the fake, the light tube that people saying are real, which I fucking recorded my own goddamn smell. I smelled this shit. I seen the shit. Those were fake fucking light tubes. But anyway, nonetheless, man, WWE needs to get together.
They weren't fake.
Because,
what they did was they took the they take the dust out, which you really should, dude, because that shit's like super harmful. We're probably gonna fucking die soon because we've been hailed so much of that shit.
There's also light tubes where the fluorescent is not harmful. That's the ones that they use.
Listen. Oh, maybe the ones they use. I say, man, the ones we see are whatever the fuck motherfuckers can come up on and bring to a wrestling show, man. They'll use anything. And they're the harmful ones, dude. That's why they come with a fucking puff of smoke.
I agree with you. But like I said, I recorded them, dude, and I mean, I don't know if I've gotten anything from them. I could really care less. I'm not dead. So, I mean, what don't kill you make you stronger, you know? But anyway, nonetheless, my opinion on Big E's WWE winning the WWE championship is I'm very proud of that because Big E deserved it for years. When he became the NXT champion, the Intercontinental champion, I'm kind of glad they did the New Day thing because New Day thing did it for years and they never staled. People said they staled, but they still rock, they still chanted New Day Rocks.
Yep.
But Big E was, I mean, Kofi Kingston was a big superstar back. He's been there since 2007. Nonetheless, dude, almost a decade later, you know what I'm saying? It took him more than a decade to win the championship. And it took Big E around the same amount of time. I mean, I don't see why WWE took it so long, and I don't mean to bring up the racist thing, but I love that they let two African-American males in 2021 wrestle for the WWE Championship twice on the Monday Night Raw, in the beginning of the show, and at the end of the show in the main event. But it was good for me because he was NXT champion, and I thought he was one of the best things in New Day. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods brought their funniness, but you had the muscle with Big E, and he's the fucking man. My opinion.
Yeah, we were talking a couple weeks ago about, you know, I do think that, like, WWE hasn't seen the worst of the ass-whooping they're fixing to take. I think it's only going to get worse for them, but like Martez had said, I believe it was, it might have been Coco, that WWE is not going anywhere. They're recording record profits. They got these TV deals plus their streaming deal with Peacock because all the old shit's still good. All this original content and stuff they got is real good, too.
you know, but so they're not going anywhere. And here's the main thing. They could turn it around in 4 to 6 weeks. 2 weeks of solid shit.
Yeah, if they really want to.
4 weeks of consistency. The buzz, all it takes is a little bit of buzz, man. Sometimes you just got to generate a little bit of buzz. And
there you go.
You need
That's
to entice
it.
People and check out what's going on, man. It's not even just mainstream, even like the stuff that we support and, you know, attend all the time. Like, a lot of these promotions, like Horror Slam, for instance, they had this new thing going. They generated a little bit of buzz. Nobody was doing what they were doing around here.
Oh.
And, you know, they didn't take long for them to really start packing houses, and which allowed them to bring in names, which generated more buzz.
Greg, can I cut you off right there? I'm going to add on to that, but I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to finish your sentence, dude. Well, I'm not going to finish your sentence, but, dude, this is what I've been talking about. Like, even when I started the Deathmatch Wrestling podcast, because I knew I had a feeling of Horror Slam doing what they were going to do now. When I had my PS4, when I had my WWE 2K19, dude, I got videos. I sent Briar these videos, dude. When I created the whole Horror Slam thing, the whole handprint in the middle of the ring, and, dude, Horror Slam, I've loved Horror Slam since day one. And Horror Slam is packing out houses. They're going states now. Like Briar said, remember he used to tell us when we were together, I'm not going to stay in Michigan. We're going to fucking go on the road. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. Now look what they're doing. They're doing cross-promotional shit on Fight TV. And you know what I'm saying? And I'm not taking no credit for this, so I don't want no words mixed up, dude. But I remember when I wanted to start my YouTube channel to get this, you know what I'm saying, for them to get these opportunities. Like, I wanted Horror Slam to get out there. That's why I started the Deathmatch podcast on YouTube. Like, share, and subscribe if you want to see the early Horror Slam stuff. But nonetheless, dude, Horror Slam is where it's at for me when it comes to the Deathmatch wrestling, because to me, they're not the first ones to do it, dude, but they're the first ones I actually paid attention to, dude, and now they're doing it big.
They kind of were around here, bro, in my opinion.
Horror Slam's heavyweight championship is held by Impact Wrestling star Trey fucking Miguel, bro. He's the fucking Horror Slam heavyweight champion, and that's Horror Slam's heavyweight championship being held by somebody that's actually, you know what I'm saying, on Impact Wrestling on the active roster in 2021.
Yeah, they kind of were the first to do the true deathmatch shit around here. I mean, XI had deathmatches and stuff around here.
Michigan, but I'm talking about like CZW, you know what I'm saying, GCW. They were out years before then because, I mean, not really GCW. GCW was like 2017, 2018 maybe. I'm not 100%.
That's what I'm saying. And up until recently, because GCW is quickly becoming more of a national promotion, but they're really a regional promotion too, man. They don't travel like that. You can typically find them up there in the east, you know, Philly, Jersey, in that area.
You
know what I mean? IWA Mid-South has their territory. We have our territory in Colorado. We have a little bit of, you know what I mean? There really is territories of it. And I believe Horror Slam was the first in our territory. And PKW, RPW, F5, I'm just going to say it. They
followed
Horror Slam was first.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that, brother. We've been, you know what, me and you were, we basically fell in love with Horror Slam at the same time. We've been through this whole journey of Horror Slam the whole time together, dude. You know what I'm saying? When I started the podcast, we became friends. We went to shows together. I've gotten mad at, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say stories, but you know the stories, dude. And you're like, man, brother, why don't you stay? Why don't you stay? You know what I'm saying? But you knew the reason why now. But anyway, dude, and now, you know what I'm saying? We're heavily involved. You know what I'm saying? And we've been involved. We just didn't know it. And dude, it's heavy. It's heavy. It's very heavy, dude. It's very heavy that Horror Slam is doing what they're doing. Slave of the Deathmatch tournaments. Last year, Briar Wellington, Chuck Stein. This year, Chuck Stein was in there. You know what I'm saying? Our Michigan guys are getting out there, dude. Whether it's the Deathmatch promotions or whether it's the pro wrestling scene, we got the best everything in the Midwest.
Yeah. The Midwest is a great place to be a wrestling fan.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. They talk about, listen, I'm not down in New York or whatever, but they say New York's the biggest wrestling fans in the greatest state of, you know what I'm saying? They got a lot of wrestling. Well, no, New York is. I'm not going to stop that. That, them in Philly, you got ECW, you got all them old, you know what I'm saying, Madison Square. But I believe beyond them, dude, Michigan is where it's at for pro wrestling and deathmatch scene. Past, present, or future. We got the Iron Sheik when MM3's grandfather was wrestling him. Sweet Daddy Monroe, and then you got DBA, and then you got the best in the Midwest, MM3, the process. And not just him, you know what I'm saying? Our guys over here in Michigan, they bleed, and they, you know what I'm saying, they do what they do best, and that's wrestle. Or bleed.
A lot of blood is shed around here,
yeah,
man. And a lot of blood's,
yeah,
going to be shed this weekend. That's for sure.
Oh, for sure,
they
for
are.
Sure, dude.
There is a chance that I'll be attending that. I didn't think it was going to really work out, but...
Jesus Christ.
Stay tuned.
It happens,
and stay
though,
tuned also. We have tonight is just the beginning. There's the Detroit Wrestling Connection is actually, man, they're doing big things. They have big plans, and there is more announcing to come. But right now, the big buzz, the big party, what I want everybody to get excited about, man, is Detroit Wrestling Connection's first AEW viewing party at the Royal Oak Music Theater, watching AEW, watching these five-star bangers on this giant TV is going to be so awesome with a bunch of cool-ass wrestling fans. I hope that bitch is packed, bro.
Oh, it's going to be packed, dude. We're going to make sure that we're going to promote this every week. We're going to make sure that we promote it on Facebook. Marchez, you send us the flyers. We'll post it. We'll post it on our pages. We'll post it on the Rated R page. Dude, I'll make sure I promote it where it needs to be promoted. We're going to do what we got to do. We're going to pack out the house. We're gonna blow the roof off that bitch with the AEW pay-per-view.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, this is a premiere because the flyer is coming soon.
Yep.
Real soon.
Very soon. You guys should... If you have time to do this, you guys should bring your merch, and we can put you in. We can work out something where we can put you in a section where you can do your thing with your merch if you want to. You know, because I don't want to.
Where is that merch?
So, limited
run. That was a limited run thing, man.
No. You know what?
The original Rated R merchandise, man.
I'm gonna talk to Sean Stockmeyer. I'm gonna see what we can do, what we can get. I'm gonna see what we can do for sure. Mm-hmm. And maybe we might still just have the OG shirts because I might just make it another logo. You know what I'm saying? And maybe that'll be a debut some sort. And yep.
Yeah.
We'll possibly have some merch.
Who wouldn't want to rock a Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 shirt? Yeah, seriously.
Man, hey. Who knows, man? There's probably there's somebody out there.
Yep. But
man, after that, we got more people wanting them after they were gone than before
yeah,
they were here.
Sure.
I'll tell you that.
Wow. That's awesome, man. Yeah.
I remember taking Martez his down to the...
Yep.
We sat there and sipped hot cocoa and bullshitted for a while.
Yep.
So I was numb.
Yep.
Man,
I couldn't find
a pocket spot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I couldn't find a pocket spot.
I just paid the extortion.
I didn't have no cash, like, damn it, and
it.
I didn't have my car.
Yeah, I was like, fuck it, I'll just pay the extortion.
You said fuck it, and you called Dan Zucky, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see how this game is. It's a work. They're like, park over here, Mark. Give me your money. He's like, how long?
Also,
how long you gonna be? Well, I don't know, not real long. Yeah, man. Always fun parking in downtown Detroit.
Also, former guest of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 will be returning to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. John, capital letter E, period, Bravo. Also, I forgot about that. We'll be making his way back to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast soon.
Uh-oh. I might have heat with that guy.
Yep. Hey,
I was
trying to
talk about fuck
nope,
that guy.
Nope, you can't. You know what? No.
And shitty
like
chin strap Kyle.
Hey, that's like me saying fuck ABZ.
It's shit strap Kyle.
Representing. He is no better. He is no better than ABZ.
So you're a shit strap Kyle guy?
Hey, chin strap and
you're
my
done
guy.
With shit strap? And
we are very good friends. I'm sorry to tell you that, brother.
You and shit strap?
Me and shit strap Jesus, yes. the undeniable heavyweight champion of Horror Slam. You remember that.
He's an undeniable fucking pussy.
The undeniable fucking champion, bro. You fucking remember that.
He's
a
Pinocchio.
I don't see ABC with nothing but a fucking cup of fucking Starbucks on his fucking hand.
Wait. AVG and Forever Young were the PWAS Tag Team Champions for months.
No,
they may have lost it, but they were the champions for months. And he is also the Trios Champion in FU with Joseph Harvey and Jamie Turtle. So AVG's winning shit all around the Midwest, actually wrestling from bell to bell. That fuck pussy, shit strap Kyle.
You know what?
He's
I don't want to hear this. You know what, Greg? I don't want to fucking hear that shit.
Championship.
You sound like Jeremiah Goldman saying he beat me in a drinking contest, which we both fucking know ain't fucking true.
Listen, I will always give credit where it's due. Dude was the smartest man out of several in that match, even though he was about maybe 15% of the, you know, actual brain cells in that made the plan that won him the championship, which props to John, capital E, period, Bravo, because he is the fucking man. Shitstrap is a fucking pussy. There's a difference.
Hey.
AVG,
like
not
said,
a fucking
like,
pussy.
Yes,
who's
the,
AVG
scared
of? He faced the Soul Taker how many times? AVZ feared not the Soul Taker nor anybody else.
Who's that former Horse Slam heavyweight champion? Who's that former Horse Slam heavyweight champion?
Dude, in the Summer of Funk tour? I mean, come on, dude. Who was his biggest challenger? Matt Hagen? I mean, I'm nothing against Matt Hagen, but I mean, he's not a top guy, and that was about the quality of the
I'm not gonna down you on that one. That's actually fucking funny. That was fucking funny. Matt Hagen? Matt Hagen who? Who's Matt Hagen? I forgot about that guy.
I'm just saying, like, that was about the most quality at that point in the summer. I mean, it was a fucking pandemic. Half the guys were on stay-at-home orders. I mean, you know, and yeah, he, for one fucking week, was the champion. Was it 1 week? How long was
shit
strap?
Holy
shit. The Horror Slam champion.
Listen to this. Forever Young just shared my fucking Nick Gage versus Briar Wellington match an hour ago.
a very good friend of mine. Shout out to Forever Young. The current reigning defending Dembski Invitational Champion. He won the match fair and square, straight up. I'm not just talking shit. Won the match. The champion was Matthias Thrasher, and Forever Young, in a six-way match, comes out on top. He is the current reigning defending champion. He is the former and probably number one contender for the tag team championships at Pro Wrestling All-Stars with the great Alex Van Zandt. Shout out to Mr. Diddleballs as well.
Always. You know who we need to have back on the show? You even said it the other week. The undeniable
your boy Shitstrap.
King. No,
we do.
The undeniable king. We need him back on the show. That is for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. I need to go see him, man. This is the longest I've gone without seeing that guy in a long time.
Let's go. Let's go. I need to see him, too. I feel the same way.
You need to go see.
I feel
Pops.
Let's be up. That's my brother, Pops. He already knows it.
Yeah.
My wrestling father. Man, yeah. Dude.
My wrestling
man,
grandpa is Brian Shotwell.
Brian Shotwell. That's my guy.
Dude, I still love that guy. He's one of the greatest guys I've met in the wrestling business. Just always so happy, which he wouldn't mind me announcing. I am officially the official color commentator for Midwest Pro Wrestling Alliance. The permanent official color commentator for Midwest Pro Wrestling Alliance. I'm so excited to get that call.
Congratulations, brother.
Love Papa Shotwell.
When you get these, because you know what I'm saying? You get these blessings, brother, and I'm always happy for you. You know what I mean? That's always
I'm just out here having fun, you know what I mean? You know, when
hey,
he asked me to do
brother,
it.
They're blessings because we get, you know what I'm saying, heavily involved in the business that we love.
Exactly. It's, like, unbelievable. And he first asked me to announce for him. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he was so appreciative. I'm like, it's nothing. This is fun, you know. And then to do the commentary, he was, and shout out to another one of my wrestling pops, Matt Breeding, because he was, you know, the first one to have faith in me and put me out there and trust me to, you know, do a good job. And, dude, wrestling's just been great to me.
Yeah, it has. I agree. But, yeah, we're almost out of time, brother. Is there anything else you want to let loose with?
No, just, you know, I can't stress enough the Detroit Wrestling Connection. That's where my fire is right now, man. I'm so excited about what they're doing and so excited to, you know, help promote and be a part of these events. And I say events in the plural sense and stay the fuck tuned. Be there on November 6th, but stay the fuck tuned because there just might be something much, much bigger than a viewing party to be announced by the Pro Wrestling Detroit Wrestling Connection. Stay the fuck tuned.
This is the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. Your boy, the Southwest Texan, Brother Greg, Brother Martez. We'll get more into detail about this, about the Wrestling Connection and the viewing party and what else is going to happen. We're gonna get all these conclusions and we'll let you guys know next week. We love you guys.
Peace.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interesting. We got that. The Southwest Texan, Day-Day Cruise. Yeah. Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interesting. We got that. The Southwest Texan, Day-Day Cruise. Greg, the market. Wrestling podcast, non-stop action, interesting, we got that, the Southwest Texas, yeah. Day-Day Cruise, okay. Greg DeMar-
can call this pay-per-view. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast, that's what we do. Let me introduce Greg, the Mark, and Martez L. I run with winners, homie, I can't fail. You say you undefeated in a match, we gon' see. Open Talk Radio, the Flash 313. From WWE to NXT, all elite wrestling, we discuss these. We just trying to make a positive impact. We putting over every single wrestler who did that. Welcome to your death
Welcome
match.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texan, they cruise. Greg, the Mark, and Martez, they them dudes.
Okay.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texan, they cruise. Greg, the Mark, and Martez, they them dudes.
Yo, we just wanna see where your head's at. We get it cracking like watching eggs hatch. Your neck snaps. Dude, it's gold smooth, the flow is so unusual. When I ride a beat, call it cruise control.
Welcome to the Rated R.